Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's JD, and welcome back to a new episode of JD Radio. Yes, we are back for a new episode, and on this one, we talk about a lot of stuff. We get into my issues with the internet, and also the tragedy that is the Astroworld Festival of this year that happened in Houston, Texas, along with me getting canceled. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff on this episode, and I just want to say thank you all for listening every time that I upload a new one. It's really, you know, appreciated, and I have a great time doing this. So, you know, if you like the content, make sure you leave a review, subscribe, rate, check it out on YouTube if you want to watch it with your eyes. Send more voice messages in the future if you want to have any of your questions answered. And yeah, get ready for a new episode, because this one is a doozy. Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's JD. We're back. New episode of JD Radio. Yeah. I'm 2 weeks out. I should have had one for you last week. But life, I got to stop doing this in the beginning of the episodes, making apologies / excuses for my living. I got to stop doing that because I'm allowed to live. I'm allowed to live, right? I try at least. What's going on? Welcome to a new episode. Mental health check-in. I'm good. I'm doing okay. I'm a little, I guess, just in my own head about things that don't matter, like what people think and or say about me or whatnot in the world, or on the internet. The internet, it's a place. You all, yeah, what's up? It's a place that sometimes gets on my nerves. I guess, how can I dive into that deeper? I feel like, and it's not something that, like, bothers me. It's something, or maybe it does bother me, but it's something more that just, like, it's a passive thing. It's very passive. You know how you're doing stuff. The internet, let's be real. We're in the metaverse. We're already here. Mark Zuckerberg wants us to be meta. We've been here. We've been meta for like the last 10 years. We live through our phones. We live through technology. We live through the internet. If you're on your phone or your computer or your TV watching this right now. And I don't know why. Well, I do know why. But lately, it's like, for some reason, those like negative comments have kind of been popping out at me. Obviously, I can handle it. I'm a grown man and I can just like turn it off if I have to. But I guess nowadays it's one of those things where it feels like, you know, a lot of people are helping me reinforce my own bad habits and thoughts about myself. You know how you talk down about yourself, or you say something negative, or you feel a certain way about yourself. Sometimes those comments or messages or whatever, they pop up and they're just so much broader than the ones that are positive and enlightening, and people who are like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for creating things, because you know, you are a ray of shining light through my cloudy day. That those are the ones that I should be focusing on, which we will in this episode. But the negative ones, they get you, baby. They get you. they get you off guard every once in a while. And I just get annoyed with the fact that I even give them like time or energy still. I don't know why. I think that's just human nature, though. I think that's human nature, in which we can't help ourselves from noticing them, looking at them, thinking about them, being like, oh, yeah. Specifically for me, you know, I still upload content. I've been doing this for like 10 plus years. I started like in 2010. It's 2021, which sounds crazy out loud. But, you know, I've been doing it for so long, and you get lost when you do it for so long in the point that you think like, you know how people like deem success as like a destination, but it's not. It's the journey. We've heard that before. So I've been working with myself to understand that, yes, it is a journey. You've been on a journey of success, and you'll continue to grow and go farther in life as things progress. But there's certain parts of my journey that I guess I always thought would look different. And I feel like there was always glimpses of that success, but it never flourished into the thing that I always wanted it to be. Specifically, and this isn't everywhere, this is like specifically like YouTube. YouTube was a thing that I didn't do because I wanted to be successful. I did it because I wanted an outlet. something flew into my mouth. It felt like, sorry, it feels like a bug's in my mouth. All right. YouTube is a thing I started when I was younger. I was in my late teens, early 20s, when I think I made my first YouTube channel and just even got introduced to YouTube. And over this last 10-year, 11-year journey, I feel like I've been able to do way more than most people. I know so many people who quit. I know so many people who don't get halfway to where I am or a third of where I am. But for me, I guess I always sat back and said to myself, I don't feel like I have that it factor when it comes to the internet. I think I have it in real life. Like in real life, I think talent just reigns supreme above all. Now, does it mean I will be given or receive certain opportunities because I'm talented? No, there's a sea of people who are talented. But I feel like I definitely shine outside of the internet more than I do inside of it. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, even this channel. Let's start with that. Sorry, feels like something's in my throat. Sorry. So gross. So this channel, I used to do the sketches. You know what it is. Who is UTV? Sketch comedy, videos, impressions, funny things. And they did okay. I think I never gave myself enough credit for everything I've done. I think I still don't. That's a thing that I think is a learned behavior from my childhood where I do not validate myself enough. But specifically with like YouTube, like I want to do this podcast. I like doing this podcast. I'm hoping that in the future it becomes something, but it might not. And I think that's something that now that I'm older, I'm completely fine with, because this is more of just an outlet for me to do something that I enjoy. But even back when I was doing skits and sketches and parodies and impression videos, I think, and even if we're going to bring in all of YouTube, I think about like my gaming channel, I think about like my vlogs. I always feel like I never rose to the potential that I always have. And I feel like I get a lot of comments like that too. People who are like, who come across the content I create and then they're like, oh man, this dude is underrated. How is he not at 1 million subs? How is this, that, then third? I don't really deem success off of numbers anymore, at least. I did at one point. And I mean, I think technically in certain aspects of life, you still do. But I think I'm very successful. I think I'm, for my age and even just for life in general. I mean, comparatively to people that I know, grew up with, came up with, where I thought I'd be 10 years ago compared to where I am now. I think, oh, my fan is on. Turn it off. I've been on a journey of success that I really appreciate and love, but there's always, I don't know, is it just the thought of, oh, but I thought this would be even more, like, grandiose. Like, if I'm being honest, you know what it is? I am being honest. I think in the back of my head, specifically for the internet, I don't think I ever had that it factor. Or I don't think I ever, like, gave in. I think I was too committed to doing what I wanted to do, to best showcase myself and what I'm passionate about on the internet. I think nowadays I'm way more open-minded and I don't really mind creating content around much of anything anymore. But when I first started, let's say the first 7 years, I think I had a very specific and strict, like, thought process on the stuff I should be creating and if and when it would go, you know, do well. Like, I remember going to bed when I was younger, like 2010, 2011, 2012, making like skits and videos and parodies and impressions and like uploading the video like it's Christmas night or Christmas Eve and then thinking like, oh man, we're gonna be viral tomorrow morning. Everybody has this conversation, but I used to have it with myself a lot. I'd be like, oh, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. This video is gonna be viral. I can't wait. We're gonna have millions of views, millions of subs. And you know, never happened. I have had a nice long consistent career on the internet, but I never, I guess, thought to myself that this was my career. I always thought of this as like a side job, and maybe that's why I don't think, and I know that's why. That is part of the reason why I am not Not that I'm saying I'm not successful, but in the sense of like having an it factor for the internet. I don't think I was ever able to give 100% of myself to these platforms, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Facebook. There's something in my throat. I'm so sorry. Snapchat, TikTok. I've always been able to, because you know why? Because I'm like Spider-Man. That's why. Because I'm like Clark Kent. I'm juggling two different personas. I've been doing that for a while, if I'm being honest. I've been juggling J.D. Witherspoon, comedian, stand-up comedian, voice actor, actor, host, improv, impression, whatever, that guy. And then I've been juggling, like, the social media version of myself, which is, Run J.D. Run, gaming content, Who Is UTV, or just me, J.D. Witherspoon Online, as sketch content, the vlog stuff. I've been, and you know, the online Twitch streamer, the online gaming host, the online Twitter jokester person. I feel like because I never separated, or I didn't, excuse me. I feel like because I never put 100% of my time, efforts, and talents, or maybe I did for a short amount of time, but I always was working on something else in the background. I think because of that, I never achieved what I guess, believe the level of success that I know I was capable of and am still capable, you know? But it's just now that I'm getting older, I don't want to do all that same stuff anymore. I don't want to, like, just sit back and play video games every day and yell into a camera or, you know, or play games with... I can't really find time to play games with friends because we're all adults now. We're adults now. The time is not there like it was in the last decade. You know, same thing goes for like this channel. I skits are hard to produce. I will make like short, funny videos on like my other platforms, but now I'm like full-fledged skits. I'd rather sit back and write out like a television treatment and try to get it on TV or Hulu or Netflix. That is TV. So yeah, just something to put out there. But I think recently, because of the downslope that all of my content has gone with on YouTube specifically, my other platforms are going the other way. Like Instagram's up that way, Twitter's up that way, Facebook's going that way, but YouTube was the first true love to me. And it's a weird thing to see like your true love or your first true love kind of like slip out of your hands. But you know, I think it's one of those like if you love it, you gotta let it go type of things, or you just gotta be happy with what you have. I'm happy with what I have. I have however many followers, subscribers, people who watch, you know, it's not a high number on any of my platforms, on YouTube. But I'm glad I have my community. Like these are my people who get me, who want to watch what I like to do. Now, if I wanted to, you know, take it to the masses, I would change up the content. I wouldn't do this podcast. I would do something that's a little bit more algorithm friendly. I wouldn't do the types of gaming and tech videos and gaming news videos I do. I would just sit back and play probably the most viral games at the moment. You know, get scared, jump scares. I don't like scary games, but I would do it just because I wanted to make money or something or be successful. So, you know, I guess that's, I kind of like that about me. I like that I go against the norm to create the content I create. But back to what I was originally saying, lately, it's kind of been getting under my skin because I keep seeing these like unnecessary comments, like people who obviously don't have the mental or emotional capacity or wherewithal to just be kind human beings. That's a thing that, you know, not a lot of people go to therapy and you can tell. Like the other day, I got a comment on one of my videos that said, "Dang, man, I'm sorry to say this, but you fell off." And I'm like, okay. And I'm in my brain, I'm like, it fell off in the sense of it's specifically about my gaming YouTube channel. And I was like, sure, I would say the same thing because I don't have the time to dedicate to this thing. I have a whole other life outside of YouTube. I also don't upload consistently. I do it as much as I can, as often as I can when I have free time. And I think people don't realize that. People think that when you upload on YouTube, that's all you do. And you know why? Because a lot of YouTubers and content creators only do the internet. But for those who know me since day one, you know I've never been only about the internet. If I did, I'd probably, like I said, would be way more successful because I wouldn't have an acting career, stand-up, voice acting, hosting, all that other traditional entertainment stuff. It would be pushed to the side, which would actually give me time to focus 100% into the YouTube and all that stuff. But I like being skilled at other things other than trying to just make people on the internet laugh and using the edit tool to basically deem my entire longevity on having a career. I like having a skill set. I like knowing that I don't need a computer or a camera or a phone to be talented. That's just me. No shade at anybody else. But it is recognizable. I am aware that because I do certain things like this, I am going to receive certain, like, you know, flack or, you know, cause and effect in a sense of what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm on my channel right now going through my channel analytics, and they're not good on this channel specifically. Like, I have 145,000 subscribers, but I'm very aware that the people who originally subscribed to this channel did not want to see me do a podcast. That's not what this channel was here for them. They want to see me do skits. They want me to make funny videos. They want me to make content that is just, I guess, you know, I want the old Kanye. I want the old JD. That's, you know. I'm not saying anyone has complained about that, but it's just like every month I lose subscribers on this channel. I don't gain them at all. The viewership, though, has gone up and all that other stuff because we're doing a long form piece of content, which is a podcast. So it's interesting to me how that works. Also, if you're listening to this, the audio people, how are you, audio people? I'm talking out loud about the YouTube channel. So if you're not watching it already, youtube.com/JD Witherspoon. I think that's what the link. I don't know. The link is somewhere down there. I think I made a new URL for this channel. But that's what I'm making this first 16-minute diatribe about. Wow, is that how long I've been talking? But yeah, that stuff has kind of been getting a little under my skin. But I try just to, you know, dust it off my shoulders, not worry about it, don't think about it, and just create stuff that makes me happy. But let's be honest. I have friends who do this for a living just like me. And they know better than to do what makes them happy, because at the end of the day, we are just like marketing agents. Every YouTube channel is just its own company trying to market to a new audience to get a new set of eyeballs to watch their content. I am not catering to that. I am going the opposite way. I'm like, if you watch, great. If your eyeballs are closed, that's also fine. Because I want to make the stuff I like. I feel like I'm a dying breed. I know I am. Like, I don't, you know, use, I guess, the connections I have in this YouTube verse as much as I used to. I'd like to get guest on this podcast. I don't know why, though. I have like a weird thought process of like, we need to get to a certain episode of podcast episodes before we bring a guest on. I don't know why I'm even thinking like that. That's that closed-minded thinking I got to get rid of. If I can find somebody who wants to hop on the pod, I'll make it happen. But even like for my gaming channel, like I used to collab with a lot of friends, and I haven't done that in a long time. And I know that, in my opinion, I guess kind of carried the weight of my viewership. And I think that's why I don't want to fall back into that, because then you start picking like up, like you can start piggybacking off of other people's content, especially if they're bigger than you, and their viewers come through, and then all they want to watch is content that is based off of the first time they saw you. And if that's with your friend, like if it's like collab videos, then every time you make a new video, it's like, when's that? When's the next collab though? You know, with certain people. I there's a whole bunch of people that I did that with, you know, shout out to the homie Dashy, Berlizzi, King Batch, the dudes from Team Six, Terrorizer, basically Do Work, Cartoons, you know. It's not a bad thing, but you have to like do it. You have to moderate it. You have to do it at a certain amount of time. You don't want to do so much of it so that people feel like your channel is just a backup channel of their favorite content creator. And that's where this whole rant is coming from. I know I am some people's favorite content creator, but I think in my brain, I've always had the potential to be like, oh gosh, hit my microphone, sorry. I feel like I've always had the potential to be like, like a Jacksepticeye, a PewDiePie. Well, I mean, maybe not, because, you know, the algorithm ain't favoring your boy like that. But still, I always feel like I had the potential to be something like, you know, that, or even like Corey Kenshin, or, you know, channels I used to watch back in the day, Philip DeFranco, College Humor, whoever, doesn't matter. The homie Batch, King Daystorm, a whole bunch of people. But I think I'm just like a person who likes to go the other way. I don't like to follow the herd. I like to go the other way and see what's on the other side of certain aspects of life. So I have to be happy with my decision, and that's what it is. I'm trying to tell you that's where I'm at. Is it discouraging to see people unsubscribe? Sure, but I'm an adult, and like, I've got a lot of followers on other platforms, and also followers don't matter. None of this matters. I think that's the other part of this that I'm trying to get at, and I did not mean to rant about this for 20 minutes, but we're here now. I realize, like when my father passed away, like, none of this matters. None of it. Like, it's great, and it's motivating, and it keeps us kind of distracted, but in the grand scheme of life, none of these followers are going to follow you to heaven or down to hell with I almost messed up and said something disrespectful, but I meant to say down to hell sliding on a pole like Lil Nas X in his music video. Not to say he's going to hell. No. I'm just saying, based off of his video, the funny part of it. Please don't take that out of context. Thank you. Yeah, you know, or who knows if you go anywhere, you might go to space. All right. Aliens exist. I'm just saying that it's like, I love the fact that I feel untethered. Like, I'm allowed to do what I want to do. I create the content I want to create. I'm very successful. I did not think I'd be here at 33. I thought where I am in my career, I would be in like 10 more years. So to say that I, like, you know, make a living off of being myself, creating content, getting hired to work on television projects, commercial projects, hopefully movies and, you know, more film in the future, voice acting, and also still get to do this casually on the side for fun and make a check, like multiple checks and all that. That's the win. That's the dream. The dream, the destination. That's it. Been doing that. That's it. I'm on the train of happiness, success, and feeling content. So I don't know. I just wanted to get that out there, because that's just something that I think has been like kind of, it's like, it's been something in the back of my mind for years, but I never voice it. I never voice like how that kind of stuff makes me feel. I do confront a-holes on the internet, though. Like, I mean, if somebody's going to talk crap about me online, I'll talk it right back, because I've got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. I'm not going to be the bigger person if you're a freaking a-hole or just disrespectful for no reason. No, I will come for you. I will come for the gullets. I love that too. It's so fun, because like, once you call someone out, they get all, oh, yo, I was a fan of you, dog. Yo, I love the stuff you make, homie. What's good, yo? Ah, man, people are weak. All right. Welcome to a new podcast. I want to make these shorter, so I think we're going to get to like the back end, if not half of this. I'd like to make these episodes a little shorter, where I rant about certain things. And then when I think I've said this before, when I have a guest on, maybe those will be hour long episodes, trying to build up the retention, which I shouldn't care about. But I mean, honestly, I do want y'all to listen and watch. All right. So with that, I did want to discuss the that Travis Scott thing. Wow. That was really upsetting, frustrating, disgusting, scary. I know that someone asked me to talk about it on my Instagram this week. Somebody was like, can you talk about your thoughts on the Travis Scott situation? And I mean, I don't want to pull up footage, because I think that's just unnecessary and probably would get the video flagged. But for those that don't know, he had his Astroworld, Astroworld concert in Houston, Texas or something this past weekend. And it was just a train wreck Astroworld Festival. And it seemed to be that it was like some sort of crazy train wreck because there were people who passed away there. And the reason, got to mute that. Sorry. The reason people passed away is because it is his fault. I think it's just that he encouraged too many people to come out. And in doing that, it became a situation where it was at capacity. He had 50,000 people who were there. And the crowd got so big that when he came on stage, they rushed the stage. They didn't get on it, but they rushed it enough where people were like suffocating once amongst each other. They were so close together, they could hardly breathe. And I heard that there were like sinkholes and pockets of people falling down into the crowd, getting stepped on like a Black Friday raid or something. And I think the one thing that's really sad to me is like children who might have passed away. I'm not trying to judge, but I personally, like, you know, when I become a father, I don't plan on letting my kid go to a concert at any age, probably under like 17. You know, that's just me. I just think that's like very reckless and slightly negligent. But again, I mean, I'm sure they probably put their kids in the best hands, but what can you do? Things happen. But I guess it's unfortunate because it was very preventable. And unfortunately, you know, now Travis Scott is dealing with possible, possible lawsuits because of not taking his, taking the safety of his concert seriously. And also, I believe he kept performing after the fact, which then made things even worse because it's like, yo, bro, you need to say stop it. And I guess he didn't say stop it enough or at all. And next thing you know, you got a lot of people who passed away and people who got injured. And it's just really sad stuff. I don't recommend you really look deeper into it than whatever, I guess, whatever really happened. But I got some footage of it right here. I'm just gonna jump cut over. Or no, actually, I'm not gonna jump cut over. We're gonna see if there's just like clips. Yeah, I guess there's like some. See, I don't like that. I don't want to watch that. It's like people, like it's like video footage of the people who broke into the concert, and I don't understand why. Where was the security at? Like, that's the thing that's really weird to me. Right here, they broke into this gate, and I don't understand. Like, first off, you got people who are getting in for free. That's not even supposed to be happening. Secondly, there's no security. There's no one here stopping this. There's cameras. There's people watching, and there's young kids who are getting trampled on. There's probably kids under them. Like, it's gross. There's, you know, police, whatever you call it, medical people, ambulances that are trying to get into the concert, doing all this stuff. I'm just glad that I am not like someone who wants to participate in this type of stuff. I've never been someone who was big on the concert scene. I used to go to like maybe one or two, like when I was a kid with my parents, but there was maybe a few artists where I was like, dang, I really would like to go, but not at the expense of my life. Also, let's just be real. Why are we having festivals in a pandemic? And for anyone who gets in the comments saying, JD, there's a vaccine out there, it does not prevent transmission. I'm not here to be anti-vax, obviously. I'm just here to be like, vaxxed, not vaxxed. Concerts should not be happening for another year, if not 2 years. But this country, you know, this country, listen everybody. Well, you know, it's the best. I got to stop doing that impression. I just hate that. I hate this idea that this country thinks that we're bigger and or better than science and vaccines and death itself. I will never understand that. I will never understand why this country is so like hard-headed, you know? Like, that's, it's just stupid to me. But that was a very upsetting and, I guess, you know, sad thing to check out and watch. So those are my thoughts on it. This I don't have a zoom in face, do I? I should have a zoom in of my face right here, but I don't, because I, or I do. Hold on, here we go. 3, 2 Okay, I'm gonna tell y'all a little story real quick because this is funny to me. I got canceled. not for anything that to me is cancelable. I didn't get canceled. It's gonna be a short, quick story. I tweeted about it this past week. I might pull up the Twitter thread. So I was about to work with on this event with a company that I know and I've seen ever since I was a kid. And also I was gonna work with a friend who I've worked with before. Now me and my friend are good. There's nothing has gone bad between me and me and them. We're still homies. It's all good. But they reached out to me with this opportunity this past week, and they were like, "Yo, would you want to be a part of this project that I'm doing? I'm gonna be working with this company and this, that, and the third, and I put your name down as someone to maybe be a part of it." And you know, they like you, and they were like, "Do you have any background information that maybe relates to their stuff and their cause and this, that, and the third? And, you know, maybe that way I can send that over to them." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'll send them over whatever it is I got." And did that, sent it over, sent analytics over for social media posts because it was going to be some sort of like brand deal type thing slash maybe a video on YouTube. And then I got a crazy email earlier. Was it this week? No, it was last week. And my friend hit me up and followed up and was like, "Yo, man, hey, it looks like... it looks like, unfortunately, that whole thing we were about to do, the deal, fell through." And I was like, "What the heck?" And then the rest of the email said, "Yeah, I guess that you tweeted something about this company 7 years ago, back in 2014, and it set them off. And now they don't want to work with you at all." And I'm like, "Oh, my God." Like, my brain is like, "What did I say?" My brain was tripping. I was like, "Yo, that's wild. I don't usually say anything negative about anyone. That's crazy to me." So then the person linked me the tweet that I posted. And the tweet that I posted was not even to me, it wasn't cancelable. I think it was perceived by this company as me talking crap. And that wasn't what I was doing. And I also thought that a company like a huge company would actually take time to do the, I think, adult thing and just professional thing, which is reach out to me and ask me about this post. You know, similar to like a Kevin Hart in the Oscar situation. You like, you know, him having comments about, you know, making gay jokes from like back in 2011 about his son and him saying it's just a joke, but them also just being like, "Hey, but could you just delete it? Because we'd rather you just delete it so we don't get any flack from any communities because, you know, this is 2020, whatever." And him standing on his soapbox defending it is not something I would have done. No, I don't care. You're offended? Cool. My bad. Didn't mean to offend you. Delete. That simple. Could have just continued with the work. But I guess they were doing a background check on me, which I did not know they were doing because I just didn't think about that. And they went back and found this old tweet. And I will say this, my tweet was not negative, but it was bold because I did tweet at their company. Like, I put their at name in my tweet because I didn't think it was a big deal. And also, no one saw it. It got one like back in 2014. And the gist of it was me saying about this company that I felt that one of their recent ad campaigns in 2014 was counterproductive to the positive message that they're trying to push. That was it. That's all. I didn't say like, "Yo, F this company. Y'all is trash, this and the third." I just gave them constructive criticism about a specific advert that they created back in that day. And how I said, I basically said something along the lines of, for a company that's trying to fight this type of negative connotation in the societal norm that is our lives, it seems that you missed the mark with this ad because you're just perpetuating it and making something that you want people to not be interested in interesting. That's, or at least that's what I meant from it. But I'll say this. I understand why they said, yeah, no, F that guy. Because if you read it out of context and you don't hit me up and ask me what it was about, mind you, if I even knew that tweet was still up, I would have deleted it before I knew there was a gosh dang random background check. But if you read it like that out of context, then you're probably looking at it like, oh, psh, what? We're about to work with this dude who like trash talked us 7 years ago? Nah, we don't need to do that. I get it. I definitely get it. But it was like so harmless. And also, I just thought that was weird for such a large company to be like, yeah, nah, we're not going to ask him why. Somebody high up must have saw it. It would be different if it was a smaller person from the company, because I'm sure whoever did the background check was like just an underling, someone who works on their social media team. But then whoever they sent it to must have had some pull, if not been the CEO of the company. And they probably read that thing like,
the hell this boy talking about? Man, F this boy right here, man. I don't want nothing to do with this punk over little mama.
I get it. But it was kind of annoying because I was about to get a bag off of that thing. And not to say that money is the only reason that mattered. It was a good positive message I wanted to promote too.
But there was money involved and your boy lost a good chunk of change.
But I mean, you know, that's life, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, I think my brain, though, right now is just kind of like, oh, well, I mean, I've said like stuff about a bunch of companies, like not and like a bunch of just not negative, though. Like everyone voices their opinion out there online. I don't think I've ever said anything outwardly, disrespectfully to a company I would want to work with, except for like Spectrum Internet, because their internet is doo-doo butt cheeks, and I use it currently, and I've said, like, I tweeted at them, like, yo, Spectrum, why is your internet doo-doo? So I'm not expecting them to hire me for a commercial or a job. If they do, good on them for sitting back and being like, hey, man, water under the bridge. Hey, man, you were just upset about your internet. We get it. It's okay. But this other company was not feeling me like that. They were like, nah, dog. Like, I work with so many brands. I've worked with Nintendo, and I've had days where I will give Nintendo criticism. I'm not ruthless, but I'll be like, ah, you know, it's kind of weird that Nintendo did that. They seem to have a little bit more, you know, a bunch of companies I work with, Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, AT&T, Butterfinger. I'm just naming off companies that I've literally done promotions for. Hennessy, you know, whatever, Corona. I've worked with so many brands in the last 10 years, which I'm very proud to say I have. But I just found it interesting that like this one company I've never worked with before just sat back and just immediately just kind of like, nah, they were like, get this guy the F out of here. I'm not dealing with this. But you know, that's my little story. And hey, things happen. You know what I will do, though, this week? I think we have, I'm going to just do one question per week on the show. So we're going to take a question through the Anchor app, and we'll answer it on this episode. And yeah, we'll respond to it and talk to it. So yeah, don't forget to leave messages on Anchor if you want me to do this for you, and possibly you get a little bit of like exposure on the podcast. All right, here we go. All right, y'all, this week's question comes from Julian Garcia, and they ask,
hey, JD, how's it going? A question I wanted to ask you was, have you ever worked on some kind of project, or do you have any projects right now that you're working on yourself, as in, like, something that you're developing yourself, like a series or some kind of, like, creative ideas and something that can be, like, made or adapted into something, like, you know what I mean? Like, do you have any, like, projects that you want to work on, something that you'd want to be picked up by a studio or something, like your own idea? I'm just curious. I don't think you've ever talked about it before, or at least I've never heard you talk about it before. So I thought it'd be an interesting thing to bring up. So yeah, I'd like to hear about that.
Thank you, Julian. That's a very good question, actually. I have definitely written out treatments, pitches, and ideas to produce for myself, to like create my own stuff, create my own show, create my own things. I have not gotten to the step where I then take it to like my agents, my representatives, and I tell them like, yo, let's take this idea and try to shop it around Hollywood or whatever, the entertainment industry, and see if somebody wants a bite on it. But I definitely have done that. I will say that over the last like 10 years, I've written like three different ideas. One's an animated series that I thought was really funny, but the way the world is now, I don't think that many people would find it funny or entertaining because it's kind of dark, but hilarious. Like it's one of those like, ah, man, this is hilarious, but it's also very triggering probably for some people, maybe. I'm not sure. I think it's still pretty hilarious, but I have a dark sense of humor, so that's on me, you know? And I also had like an idea for like a, not a sketch comedy series, but like a single camera television series, like a comedy. And, or no, actually, it was more of like a serious idea. It was more of like a drama. It was more of a drama that I had written down. I haven't looked at it in years, or maybe, yeah, probably years. I was gonna say months, but no, it's been more like years. And I also had an idea for a hosting type project that I wanted to create and produce, but I haven't figured out where it would work. So I haven't tried shopping it around or even thinking of like putting it out there like that, because I guess in my brain, to me, it still doesn't really have like a home for where it would be best represented and or showcased. But yeah, I do. I do have ideas like that. I've got like, hold on. I think I have, I don't know where they're at, but I got notebooks full of ideas. So, oh, actually, it's down there if you can see it. Hold on. You see these? I got like ideas written out from years. I mean, like some of them are just comedy joke writing books, but I do have like idea books for like pitches and television shows like this. Oh, this is one I actually got from HBO because I did this thing with HBO back in the day. And I actually wanted to write my TV ideas in here because, you know, I feel like every young actor's dream is to get on a television show on HBO because I feel like it's probably one of the closest networks or platforms that still makes quality television. And I'm talking about HBO, not HBO Max, because I think those are two different things. I think HBO Max is like a watered down version of HBO. No disrespect, HBO Max. Just got to say it so no one gets mad. Yeah, so I would say that I've definitely given that type of creative process some thought, but I haven't ever really executed on it. And I think that's something that I'm looking to do in the next 10 years, because I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of auditioning. I'm really tired of that. Not to say that I can't do it, but trust me, if you ever, any of you want to become actors, entertainers, getting rejected for like, man, what feels like 80% of your life, it's not fun. It's just not. And the whole industry of entertainment is so like hush hush on how it even works. Like you put yourself out there to no avail so often that you never think you're going to ever get a job. And then when you do, you think someone's pulling the rug from under you. Like, wait, are you messing with me? What do you mean? I booked it. And I'm not trying to be negative. It's like you got to, it's, I think it's that, like at that point when you get so sick of trying to meet the confines of the entertainment industry and fit into the little box that they have you in, you know, because that's what it is. They want you to be like, they want you to fit an idea of what you represent instead of just being you, which is so frustrating. And I've booked before. I've done stuff. I've been on television. I've done, I've hosted. I've done a lot of stuff over, you know, the years. You check my IMDb, I guess. But It is discouraging after a certain point to have to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And then you get lost in it to the point where you're like, I just want out of this. Or I want to just make something that I could do that I like, that people like, and then get it out there. And that's how you get television shows like Issa Rae's Insecure or Barry on HBO. There's a lot of projects like that where people sat down, they wrote it, they thought about creating it, they made it a thing, and now it's there. Harlan Williams, who's a comedian, created like this puppy cartoon show for Disney Junior. Like, there's, hey, you, at a certain point, you got to take your career in your own into your own hands and try to make something that you want to be a part of. Because waiting for the entertainment industry to give you an opportunity is just not fun at all. But, you know, there's also a little bit of passion there. Like, you want to be a part of certain projects, but you have no control. You have no control. You put yourself out there and you never get feedback. So you have no idea if you're even doing the right thing. And then when you do book something, you sit back and who knows, you can get on a project where they don't even treat you well. They hopefully do treat you well, but you can get on a project where creative differences happen and you feel some way about, you know, the project and they feel a certain way about the project and you feel like you understand it better because you're the one who has to perform, but then they're the ones who are putting money behind it. So they tell you what to do. Yeah, I don't know. I think this whole rant is just me saying like, yeah, I'm probably going to retire from being an actor at a certain point and just do something I want to do. I thought about going back to be an artist. I just thought about like, I was like, man, you still got the gift of art, man. You got the gift of drawing. You can doodle, man. I should just doodle. I kind of want to draw and produce my own cartoon, but not even. Sometimes I just want to like do art for the sake of doing art. Just go Pablo Picasso on them or Basquiat. But yeah, thank you for the question, though. I appreciate it. And that will be the end of this portion of the podcast. All right, everybody, there you go. That's a new episode of JD Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. For the 1,200 of you who listen to this or watch it on YouTube and or the 200 to 300 people who listen to it. Again, I enjoy this. I hope you enjoy it. I don't want to stop doing it, and I do want to be more consistent, so be on the lookout for that. Shout out to everybody who listens to it on all the audio platforms. Thank you so much. And everyone who subscribes to the YouTube channel and everyone who unsubscribes. Like, if you're unsubscribing, I get it. I get it if you gotta go. You're like, this is not what I signed up for. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. But with that, I will catch y'all on the next one. Feel free to share this podcast with your friends if you enjoy it. Listen to it on all platforms. And watch the video portion of it on YouTube, link in the description, and rate, subscribe, and review, I guess. Oh, leave some reviews on Apple Podcasts. I like to read them sometimes at the end of the episode. All right, I'm out of here. Thanks again. I'll see you on the next one, and good night, or good afternoon. I don't know what time it is for you. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that's a new episode of JD Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know that I did. I had a fun time on this one. It was really cool just talking. Be on the lookout for new episodes, hopefully every week. As much as I can get out, I will try in between my busy schedule. But you know what it is. I thank you so much for listening and just being able to allow me to be creative on this platform. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, review. Go to Apple Podcasts if you want to write a written review and maybe say something nice. Also, you can leave a voice message on Anchor, whether it's just how you feel or if you have a personal question. And I appreciate y'all. I will see you on the next one. Thanks again, and I will catch you in the future. Peace.